O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit that through the preaching of your word we may be led to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to our service today on this Sunday. Special blessing of the Lord to you Christian fathers on this Father's Day. Pray the Spirit of our Lord may be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God, our Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and praise him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins by the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant you grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right and in majesty most high, with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you have promised, make us love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Word of God, the first lesson on this Sunday is written in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read there verses 1 through 10. St. Paul writes, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Here ends the first lesson. Let's join now in the responsive reading of Psalm 128 as you find it printed in your worship bulletin. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. You will eat the fruit of your labor.
Blessings and prosperity will be yours.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house.
Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table.
Thus is the man blessed
who fears the Lord.
May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. And may you live to see your children's children. Our next lesson is drawn from Mark's Gospel. Last Sunday we considered the words of Jesus about the mustard seed, that even if you have a faith as tiny as a mustard seed, great things can be accomplished with God's help through the faith that the Holy Spirit gives us. In this parable, again, Jesus speaks of the mustard seed, but in a different way. He speaks of the smallness from which the church began, the group of those who trust in Jesus, starting with, of course, his group of little disciples, 12 men, has now grown into a large church, the Holy Christian Church. That's what he's referencing here in this particular parable. We read there, chapter 4, verse 26 to 34, he also said, Jesus, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk and the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please arise as we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostolic Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our consideration today is found written in the book of Ezekiel. We read in chapter 17, verses 22 through 24. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the field will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends, there's a very familiar Christmas song, one of that's a very good favorite of a lot of Christians. I'm sure you'll recognize the words immediately, most of you. It goes like this. Behold, a branch is growing of loveliest form and grace. As prophets sung for knowing, it springs from Jesse's race and bears one little flower in midst of coldest winter at deepest midnight hour. That's a description, of course, as you know, of the coming Son of God, prediction of His birth, Bethlehem, an event foretold by prophets long before. Perhaps the most familiar of these prophecies is the one by Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And another one by Isaiah. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him and his place of rest will be glorious. Perhaps a less familiar prophecy of the coming branch of Jesse is the one that Ezekiel gave that I just shared in our text. We want to give attention to this very grand prophecy and the marvelous heavenly truths that it contains for our Christian comfort and joy. The messianic shoot through whom God established the Christian church. First of all, I'd like to share a little bit of the background and times of the prophet Ezekiel who penned the words of our text. The history of that time is quite interesting, albeit rather depressing. It was during this time that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon invaded Judah and forced Judah's king, whose name was Jehoiakim, to be his vassal, to act kind of like a puppet king. And Jehoiakim was okay with that for a while, but eventually he changed his mind. He didn't want to be a vassal of Nebuchadnezzar anymore, so he rebelled. And so Nebuchadnezzar then attacked Judah, captured Jehoiakim, the king, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon as a slave, also taking along with him a lot of the precious articles from the Lord's temple at Jerusalem, and put them in his own pagan temple back in Babylon. And then he had the son of Jehoiakim, whose name was Jehoiakim, put on the throne of Judah. And Jehoiakim had a very short-lived reign. It only lasted like 3 months. and 10 days, for he was a very wicked king. And so the Lord once again had Nebuchadnezzar invade Judah and bring Jehoiakim as a slave back to Babylon, together with more articles from God's temple. And this was when the first wave of captives was also then deported to Babylon, all the educated and talented and gifted young men of Judah like Daniel. And then Jehoiakim's uncle, whose name was Zedekiah, was made king in Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. And he also was a very godless king, and one of the godless things that he did during the course of his reign is that he made a secret pact with Egypt, the country down to the south, in order to find help against Nebuchadnezzar. And the end result of it all was that because Zedekiah put his trust in an Egyptian king rather than in the Lord, turning to him in repentance and faith and finding assistance in his God, the Lord again directed Nebuchadnezzar to invade, and this time make pretty much all the people his slaves, hold them all captive to Babylon, leaving just behind in the land the poor people. And then he had Zedekiah's sons executed before his very eyes, and put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with shackles, took him to Babylon, and carried all the remaining articles of the temple away, this time directing his troops to set the temple on fire and totally break it down and destroy it. And that was the end of the kingdom of Judah. Why do we recount this rather depressing history? We do it in order to emphasize just how lowly and poor and humble the proud house of King David had become in those years, because of the people straying from the Lord, embracing of the idol gods of their heathen neighbors, their ignoring repeated warnings of the prophets. The Lord's judgment fell, and the mighty house of David was chopped down like a tree and became like a dead and lifeless tree stump. Kind of like the Easter lily plant that I brought home from church some weeks ago and set it in my backyard by my deck, thinking maybe I'll attend to it later, maybe plant the bulb and see if I can make something grow, this lily bulb. Lo and behold, last week, after removing all the dead leaves and branches, there was a green shoot that was popping up through the soil, which I expect will grow into a beautiful lily flower later in the summer. And that's what God caused to happen, amazingly, from the humble family line of David. At the time of our text, Ezekiel, one of those deported in the second wave of deportees, of slaves that Nebuchadnezzar took into exile, he prophesies in our text, this is the Lord speaking, I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it, and I'll break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it, and I will cause it to produce branches and to bear fruit and become a very splendid cedar. And that's a prediction that from the lifeless tree stump of the family line of David, the Lord would cause Jesus, the Messiah, to come forth in accordance with his promises. He'd send Jesus into the world amidst the humblest of circumstances to bloom and to grow and to carry out his great and beautiful work of founding and building his church. And everything would depend entirely upon this Messiah, Jesus, arising from the dead, the lifeless tree stump of the family line of David. He would be installed, as the psalmist writes, on God's holy hill of Zion. This too was prophesied by Ezekiel here in our text. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will take a shoot from the very top of cedar and plant it, I'll break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I'll plant it. It'll produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. The prediction that Jesus would become the glorious head of the holy Christian church, the church's joy, the church's hope, our guarantee of a future heavenly inheritance. He would have the preeminence in the church because he alone could accomplish the work of redeeming sinners by suffering on the cross and by destroying death by himself rising from the grave. And all this pulls the rug out from underneath that notion that's pretty common in our world today, the notion of universalism. That's the idea that it's propagated by the father of lies, Satan, that a lot of people have bought into, that all roads lead to heaven, no matter what you believe, no matter which God you worship, no matter what philosophy of life you happen to adopt, you'll be saved in the end. And by this prophecy of Ezekiel, we're again reminded, as Paul wrote later, Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, and salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And true enough, Jesus started out to be a nobody. At least it seemed. There wasn't anything about him outwardly in his demeanor that would lead any people to think he was somebody special, destined to accomplish immeasurably great things for us. But you know, our God, he specializes in making much out of nothing. He chooses deliberately weak things, things that amount to nothing in the eyes of the world, that the world despises. Lowly birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, his birth in that little town of Bethlehem, his growing up in the out-of-way village of Nazareth, his lowly way of life, poor, having nowhere to lay his head, in order that we might know that our God is the one who's doing these things by his power, and that we might recognize that all the glory goes to him for our being, as we are today, living stones in the spiritual edifice of the holy Christian church through faith in Christ. And another example of the Lord doing a lot out of seemingly nothing and unimportant things, of course, it's Father's Day today. The Lord uses the unsung work and the unheralded work which Christian fathers do, seemingly unimportant and ordinary to the world. Namely, the training up of little ones in the Lord's fear and admonition, inculcating in our children the precious truths of the Bible to bestow his indescribably precious blessings upon our children. Elevating them to the lofty status, not just of being your children, but of being his children, and keeping them and preserving them as his children and blessed members of the holy Christian church. Something to marvel at indeed also, dear friends, is the extent of the holy Christian church, how the Lord has caused it to grow over the centuries and to be spread throughout the whole world, writes Ezekiel here in our text using, again, picture language. On the mountain heights of Israel, I'll plant it. I will produce branches, and it'll bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. And then he goes on to say, birds of every kind will nest in it, and they'll find shelter in the shade of its branches. This is the prophecy that Jesus had in mind when he spoke the parable of the mustard seed that we heard earlier from the lectern, when he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God or the church is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, and yet when planted, grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants with such big branches that birds of the air can perch in its shade." He was describing the extensive growth and expansion of his church through the years. It would start out small with a band of, 12 apostles, but would become worldwide through the sowing of the gospel seed in human hearts. And thus we see that although Jesus never taught universalism, that all will eventually be saved, no matter what spiritual road they travel on, he did teach the universality of the church. That is, he came to be the Messiah of all people. He came to be the Messiah of you and me. During his ministry, he didn't limit his ministrations, you notice that too, to just certain classes and groups of people, but to everybody. He said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They'll hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." And another story that comes to mind is when he cured the servant who was paralyzed of the Roman army captain. And the Roman army captain had a great faith in Jesus that the Lord could do this. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Comfort for us all to know this. And Jesus came, therefore, also to be our Messiah too. The shoot from the stem of Jesse was born in fullness of time to redeem you and me and our children for his eternal realm. The blessings that we enjoy through membership in the Holy Christian Church, how should we rejoice in them. Again, Ezekiel alludes to these in our text in the prophecy using beautiful picture language. He says, "Birds of every kind will nest in the branches of this tree," the church, "and they will find shelter in the shade of its branches." That is a picture of the priceless benefits that all members of Christ's church, both young and old, enjoy as birds find relief from the elements, a safe haven from thunderstorms. They can build nests in the branches and find shelter in the shade of its branches. So we and our Messiah, Jesus, find rest and relief for our souls in the forgiveness of our sins that he won for us. We have a safe haven from the enemies, the world, and the way it would attack our faith and try to destroy or hurt it. Through word and sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, our souls find strength and peace for our lives in this turbulent society, hope for our future, strength for daily living, joy in knowing that our lives rest in our Heavenly Father's hands. And as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else for our earthly lives will be provided as well, Jesus said. And he'll make everything work together for our good, as he does for all those who love him. And finally, he will lead us safely through the valley of the shadow of death into his loving arms in the church triumphant above. Such, dear friends, are the priceless blessings of the Messiah's reign, enjoined by all members of the Holy Christian Church. We conclude with words of St. Paul from his letter to the Ephesians that beautifully describe these blessings. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the One whom He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ, in the church, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. How blessed we are indeed to be part, members through faith in Christ, by the grace of God, of the Holy Christian Church, we and our children. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect us far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit.
I invite you to stand for prayer. We have a petition for Father's Day that we want to offer, and then a regular prayer followed by the Lord's Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, by faith we see in You an example of perfect fatherhood, and in Christ Jesus our Savior, perfect sonship. May we, your adopted family members through Christ, learn also to live in our earthly families according to your will. Help Christian fathers everywhere to exercise love, understanding, discipline, and compassion for their children, just as you have dealt with us. Lead us in turn to honor and obey our fathers, just as the Savior was subject to you. Secure in Christ, we celebrate this special day for fathers, and we thank you for the blessings that you've given us through our fathers. Amen. Lord our God, our strength and joy, who brought us life and immortality by delivering your only Son to the death of the cross and raising him to glory, we praise you for your multitude of mercies, especially for your mercy in Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the full remission of all our sins, no matter how great they may be, along with the strength to overcome evil and to win the victory over temptation. Give the riches of your grace to your church, O God, so that we may seek the lost, raise the fallen, comfort the brokenhearted, heal the afflicted. Enable our pastors and missionaries to proclaim with courage and understanding all your words of life in their truth and purity, and to proclaim your mighty deeds of judgment and mercy, so that your name may be hallowed. Help us remember that you are active in all of history, life, and movement, that you are in control of all the nations, and that your eye is in every place beholding the evil and the good. Grant that all eyes may turn to you and find your truth. Bless all who are in need of body or soul, and grant that they may humble themselves under your mighty hand, so that you may exalt them in due time. Lead them to cast all their burdens upon you and assure them of your infinite and understanding care. Hear our prayer in the name of Jesus, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever, and in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.